Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Let's just pray together. Father, we thank you so much that you always want to reveal more of yourself to us. And we ask that this morning be a time of revelation of yourself to every one of our hearts, that we may draw ever closer to you and walk close to you, so that your life can flow out of our lives in the way that will bless you, bless others, and actually bless ourselves at the same time. So we thank you for the anointing of your Holy Spirit upon us now, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Let's be seated. I feel almost overwhelmed this morning by the love and the mercy and the grace of God. We only just arrived on time because I was just sort of lost sense of time as I was praying earlier. If you have your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Just reminded of something a famous bishop said. You know, bishops can sometimes speak the word of the Lord. Back in the 1930s. And he said, God eternally lives to give himself. And that's such a profound truth. God just loves to give of himself. And if he loves to give, then we can surely love to receive. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. Then if you go down to verse 11, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. We're not going to get into a discussion about predestination this morning. It's a hot subject among the students at college at present. Simply to say that you cannot believe in the scriptures without believing in predestination, because in those scriptures I've just quoted, clearly Paul is saying that in some sense we are predestined. Jesus said to the disciples, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." That even when we first turned to Christ, it was in response to his call upon our lives. He initiated the call. He chose you to come in sound of the gospel, to receive witness or whatever, just as you've heard was happening in London yesterday. He had his way of getting through to you. You may have heard the gospel many times before you actually surrendered to the Lord, because the strange thing is, you see, the scriptures believe in predestination and free will. to the human reason, those two things are incompatible, but not in Scripture. God calls us, God chooses us, but He never forces us. He always waits until we respond to Him, to His Word, to His will, to His purpose. So, in the Spirit, those two things are not incompatible at all. The thing that overwhelms me this morning is just to consider the nature of His call on our lives. In that scripture I just read, Paul first of all says that God chose us in love. Now that's not in human love, that's in His divine love. If you look at this personally, and that's what I want you to do this morning, you can see that even when you were a sinner, even when you were separate from God, even when you were not a believer, God looked upon you in love. And He made a decision. He actually made this decision before the creation of the world, the scriptures tell us, to choose you to belong to Him, to be His son, to be His child, to be a co-heritor with Christ of all that God has to give. He chose you to be reconciled to Him. That means all your sins will be forgiven, you will be made righteous, holy in God's sight, made one with God. He chose you for that. He chose you, Paul is saying, to become like Jesus. And this is the wonderful thing about the eternal life that God has imparted to us, that you will definitely, by His grace, become like Jesus. In this life, the Holy Spirit will work within you to transform you into His likeness with ever-increasing glory. As Paul says when he's writing second letter to the Corinthians. But even when it's time for you to die physically and to leave this life, the work of transformation will continue. Because the scripture says that when you see Him as He is, you will be like Him. So the Holy Spirit is working progressively in our lives to make us more and more like Jesus. But even though that process will not be completed perfectly in this life, when we see Him face to face, it will not be judgment and condemnation, but transformation into His likeness. And He called you and He chose you for that. There are other people out there, of course, whom He has called and chosen, and they don't know it yet, which is why we need to be witnesses and why we need to evangelize. We don't get into the kind of predestination that says we don't have to witness, because if God is going to call anybody, He'll call them without needing us to do it for Him. We don't want to get into any deception like that. No, He calls us to preach and to proclaim the gospel, but He calls us above all to be witnesses, for people to be able to see something of the transforming work of Jesus in your life. So how are you getting on? I mean, if you look at yourself now, How much of Jesus can you see? Or let's put it another way. How much do you think other people see of Jesus in you? It's been said that your life is the only Bible that many people will ever read. Somehow, the Word of God, the truth, has to be expressed in our lives. Now, I've got some bad news and good news for you this morning. You understand that there can only be good news because there's bad news. The reason why many people in the world do not believe the good news is because they don't believe the bad news. The bad news of what we are without God. The bad news that people will live in eternal condemnation and judgment if they're not saved through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reality of the truth, and that's why Jesus came with good news, to save us from the bad news. But now, if you look at yourself and you're honest with yourself, there's a lot of bad news. Isn't there? We just read that God has called us to be holy and blameless in His sight. That's why He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Do you have any impure thoughts? Not just sexually impure, but judgmental thoughts, proud thoughts, jealous thoughts. That's not like Jesus, is it? And yet, the Word of God says, and we've just read it, that you were included in Christ when you heard the Word of truth, the gospel of our salvation, and having believed, you were marked in Him with the promised Holy Spirit, the seal of our guarantee, which is the guarantee of our inheritance that is to come. So you are in Christ, and Christ is in you, yet still, there can be all kinds of impure thoughts, attitudes. What about your actions? Are they always of love, of mercy, of grace? When it comes to giving, is there always a spirit of generosity? That you love to give, just as God loves to give to you? Do you reflect that loving desire to give, to bless? Now, you might think that I'm trying to make you feel bad about yourself, but I'm not doing that. I just want you to believe what Jesus said about you. That in your flesh, in your natural life, there is nothing good. Nothing good. Nothing good. Nothing good. See, that's what many Christians don't believe, so they got all twisted up about themselves. So, I can't come before God with any sense of pride because I think I've done something good. If God has done anything good through me, it's what he has done, it's not what I have done. And if he's done it, then all the glory belongs to him and none of it belongs to me. Are we at the same meeting here? So the bad news is that my natural life apart from Christ is bad news. Now you might think, well, wait a minute, I've been saved. I've been redeemed by Jesus. Yes, 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 yes. So Christ is in me. It may be surprising to many of you that the Bible says, never examine yourself. Many Christians think they ought to examine themselves. There are only two places in the New Testament where it says you're to examine yourself. The first says, examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. In other words, when you're in the middle of whatever you're doing, just examine yourself to see if actually you're walking by faith. It doesn't mean look at yourself. Jesus doesn't want you looking at yourself if in your self-life there's nothing good. Hello? Okay, now, the other place in which it talks about examining yourself is when Paul is talking in 1 Corinthians 11 about Holy Communion. There it says, examine yourself. But again, it's not examine yourself to see whether you're worthy to receive Holy Communion, because nobody is ever worthy to receive Holy Communion. What it's saying is, examine yourself to see whether you really believe you are receiving the body and blood of Christ. Because many are sick and some have died because they have not discerned the body of Christ. So you see, in both those cases, it's a question of examining yourself to see whether you're walking by faith in what is happening in your circumstances or even when you are receiving communion. Now, when we look at Hebrews, many of us will be aware of the scripture in the beginning of chapter 12. Chapter 11 is all about the great Old Testament people of faith, the men and women of faith. And then chapter 12 we read, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Now that's interesting, isn't it? The race marked out for us. Who marked it out? See, this is another part of God's predestined purpose for our lives. God has a plan and purpose, something that he has marked out for each one of us. Now, how are we going to see the fulfillment of that? Well, the next verse tells us, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him. Now, here's the good news. You can look at yourself and you'll see weakness. You'll see failure. In fact, you are quite a depressing subject, really. And depressed people are constantly looking at themselves, talking about themselves. And the more they do that, the more depressed they get. But you see, that is in total contradiction to this command in Scripture. Fix your eyes, not glance on Sunday morning for an hour or two, or for your half hour or hour of prayer time that you have every day, but fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. We're only going to be able to walk by faith, because he authors faith. That's why you're here. He chose you, and he actually gave you the faith to respond to him. That wasn't even you doing that. That was Christ in you, encouraging you, enabling you, the Holy Spirit convicting you of your sin, urging you to respond to the gospel. All that was the activity of God. He waited until you said yes to him before he came to live in you and empower you with his Holy Spirit, but he was at work to bring you to that point. So he authored faith in you, but he will perfect faith in you. But how does he perfect faith in you? By telling you to get your eyes off yourself and keep your eyes on him. You see, you might be a depressing subject, but he is a very exciting subject.
That's true.
And every time you look at yourself, you can see weakness, you can see failure, you can see all kinds of impurity, unholiness, and all the rest of it. But every time you look at him, all you see is that which is good, that which is right, that which is holy, that which is pure. Now, the remarkable thing to me is that God is all of that. And he knows what I am in myself, and he knows what you are in yourself, yet still he called me. Still he chose me. Still he made me his son. Still he adopted me. And he knew that when I first came to know him, I would not suddenly be perfect, but he knew I would go through a lifetime of conflict between my flesh, my natural life, and the Spirit, Christ in me. He knew that there would be lots about my natural life that would want to stand against the purpose of God. And he knew that there would be many times when I would fail him. He knew that there would be times when I would have wrong heart attitudes and I would grieve him. Oh, he could also foresee the ways in which he would be able to use me and work through me and bless others. But he knew that until my dying day, I would always experience his conflict. And he knew that he would need to help and encourage me to keep faith with him in the conflict so that I will prove faithful to the end and so inherit the crown of life. My understanding of Scripture is some will be saved, but only as through fire. And they will be part of God's eternal kingdom, but they won't inherit the crown of life. That is for those who are faithful to the end. So I'm after the crown. Are you after the crown?
Yes.
We want to prove faithful, don't we? Well, this is the grace of God to keep us walking with him step by step in faith. Now, when you look at Jesus, you see the very opposite of every problem that you have. And you begin to realize that what God has called us to be is overcomers. And we think of how we are to overcome the enemy, who is always wanting to stir up the things of the flesh. It's the enemy who always wants us to get our eyes on ourselves. Because he knows as soon as our eyes are on ourselves, we're no longer fixing our eyes on Jesus. Because you can't look at Jesus and yourself at the same time. It has to be one or the other. So he loves to get our eyes on ourselves so that they're no longer on Jesus, because he knows while our eyes are not on Jesus, we will not be walking by faith. You see, you are trusting in the one you look at. When you look at yourself, you're trusting in yourself. When you look at Jesus, you're trusting in Jesus. That's why the scripture says, fix your eyes on Jesus, because he is the author and perfecter of your faith. You can only walk by faith when your eyes are on Jesus. Are we getting this? So we think, yeah, we've overcome the enemy because he's always wanting to distract us and take us away from the purposes of God. He wants us to keep looking at ourselves and to get really depressed about ourselves. But God wants us to have a healthy view of our weakness. This is what he taught Paul, wasn't it? My grace is always sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. You see, you know the scripture. So Paul says, then I'll boast about my weakness that the power of God may rest upon me. So if we know we're weak, we don't have to keep on and on and on focusing on our weakness, but just know this means that God's grace will enable his power to rest upon me. To be an overcomer. To overcome the enemy? Yes. To overcome in the circumstances that arise in our lives? Yes, because often there's adverse circumstances, often there's problems, and he gives us the power, the grace, the enabling to overcome. However, the thing that many Christians miss is that our main battle is not to overcome the enemy. It's not to overcome in the adverse circumstances in which we're placed, but to overcome yourself. You see, the spirit has to overcome the flesh. And how does that happen? Well, by denying it. You see, your flesh is your self-life, yes? Now, what did Jesus say? If anyone would come after me, let him deny his what?
Himself.
How can you deny yourself when you focus on yourself? How can you deny yourself when you concentrate on yourself? How can you deny yourself when you keep speaking about yourself? You know, I learned if ever you want to get into a conversation with someone you don't know, just ask them a question about themselves and they'll talk about their favorite subject. Some of you missed that. Think about it for a moment. You see, your favorite subject is that which you speak most about. So if we're going to follow Jesus, we're going to have to deny ourselves. Now, what we see in Jesus, as I said just now, is the answer to everything that can afflict us. Come against us. Any imperfection. For example, the purity of Jesus in us can overcome all impurity. There is impurity in all of us, in the natural life, in the self life, in the flesh. It's impure. Jesus says there's nothing, this is Jesus, there's nothing good in your self-life. Nothing good in your flesh. That's why you were crucified with Christ. God couldn't find any good thing in you to save you from crucifixion. So the only thing I can do with this person is to crucify them and make them a brand new person with Christ in them. So Paul says the secret is this. The secret of living the Christian life is Christ in you. It's not you. It's Christ in you. So you have the spirit of purity, and his purity will overcome your impurity. You might have to many times be made aware of your impurity of whatever kind. Like I mentioned, it can be of many different kinds. But those wrong heart attitudes of judgment and so on. That's impurity. Many times, perhaps, we have to say, Lord, forgive me for my impurity. Wash me with your blood from all the impurity in my heart. Cleanse my heart, O Lord. But you see, the power of that blood, the power of what Jesus has done for us, overcomes all the impurity. He washes that away. So that not only are we forgiven, but we do not need to continue with the same impurity. He will cleanse our heart attitudes. Are we getting this? When you look at Jesus, all you can see is righteousness. Everything he does is right. You look at other people and you can see that sometimes they're unrighteous. Mm-hmm. And when they look at you, they can see that sometimes you're unrighteous. But not everybody wants to face their own unrighteousness. But it's not that we need to examine ourselves, it's just we need to be aware that I have no righteousness of my own. Because the scripture says Jesus Christ is my righteousness. And self-righteousness is as filthy rags. So if I think I'm righteous, that's filthy rags in God's sight. But if I know I have no righteousness of my own, I'm not going to try to create a righteousness of my own. I'm going to say, thank you, Jesus, that you are my righteousness. I'm going to keep my eyes, I'm going to keep my focus on your righteousness, because your righteousness overcomes all my unrighteousness. That makes me an overcomer. Amen. Do you ever get anxious? Jesus said, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Don't even think about tomorrow. Each day has enough cares of its own. John Wesley said, this is the command, be anxious for nothing, that every believer breaks. Why? Because when you look at yourself, you get anxious. When you look at Jesus, you don't see any anxiety. He never gets anxious. He never gets worried. He's not fazed. No matter what happens to you, he's not worried. Because he knows how he can lead you through that situation out into the place where the whole matter is resolved. But right in the middle of whatever it is that's going on, and sometimes there's dramatic things that happen in our lives, right in the middle of all that, if we keep our eyes on him, what do we experience? Peace. Not anxiety, but peace. When you're walking by faith, you remain at peace. It doesn't matter what's happening. Sometimes you can be in the middle of the most devastating circumstances and you can wonder why you're at such peace. And that's because, you see, in those circumstances, your eyes, your focus is on Jesus. You're believing him to take you through the thing. Now, can you see, when you trust Jesus, now listen to me, when you trust Jesus, are you listening? When you trust Jesus, he has the obligation and responsibility to resolve the situation. According to the promise of his word. You don't have to do it. While you're trying to do it, you're not trusting him. But when you're trusting him, he has the obligation to actually resolve that situation. That's why Jesus says, according to your faith, it will be done to you. God will always honor your faith. You will receive whatever you ask in prayer if you believe. Did I come to the right address this morning? Okay, are we all in here? So you see, when you fix your focus on Jesus, His peace overcomes anxiety. So many Christians talk about their need. I need this, I need this. They even pray, oh Lord, I need this, I need this, I need this, I need that, I need. According to my Bible, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Now, if He blessed us with everything that heaven has to bless, I can't have a need. All I can have is a provider. So if I fix my eyes on Him, I'm fixing my eyes on the provider and therefore the provision. So it's a waste of time for me to keep on about my need, because that's a prayer of unbelief. But if I'm thanking God because my eyes are fixed on Jesus, if I'm thanking God for His provision, that provision will overcome my need. Can you see how you're becoming an overcomer? Fix your eyes on Jesus. His purity will overcome your impurity. His righteousness will overcome your unrighteousness. His peace will overcome your anxiety. His provision will overcome your need. You look at yourself, and if you're honest, often there is selfishness, self-concern, self-this, self-that, self-the-other. Well, that's all flesh, isn't it? In which there's nothing good, according to Jesus. But you fix your eyes on Him, and your eyes are on the one who is love. The one who has come to live in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory, with the love of God. And the love of God is a love that is given. God loved the world that He gave His Son. He didn't give a spare, unemployed angel. He gave His best. You see, this is the point. In love, God always gives His best. And in His love for you, God wants to give His best. So you see, you focus on His love, and His love overcomes your selfishness. When you're aware of just how lavish God's love is, then that does something to you. And you think, I don't need to be selfish. I can reflect the love of God. His love will overcome my selfishness. Faith overcomes my doubt. I look at myself, especially when there's difficult situations, I'm made full of doubt and uncertainty, unbelief. Because if I'm looking at myself, my faith is in myself. If I'm looking at Jesus, my faith is in Jesus. I can't look at myself and have faith in Jesus. I've got to look at Jesus to have faith in Jesus. And you see, He is the author of my faith. Faith is a gift of the Holy Spirit, according to Paul. The Spirit is the Spirit of faith. So if my eyes are on Jesus, the Spirit of faith will be operating in my life. And that faith will overcome all the doubt, all the unbelief. Jesus even prayed for all those who would become believers in that great prayer in John 17. And He said, Father, I have given them the glory that You gave Me. Now that means that to every believer in Jesus, God has given glory. His glory somewhere is in you. So His glory is able to overcome everything in your life that is a contradiction to His will. You can look at yourself and you can see all kinds of ways in which the will of God is not fully being outworked in your life. And that can make you think of yourself as a failure. Oh Lord, I've done it again. Oh Lord, I've missed Your purpose again. Oh Lord, That was an opportunity I could have, oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord. And you think you're telling God something that he doesn't know. And he's not saying, well, I feel sorry for you. He's saying, well, get focused on me and on my glory. Because my glory is my victory. And that glory enables you to overcome everything that is a contradiction to my will. The resources are within you. Mm-hmm. But you don't see the release of those resources because you look at yourself and go searching for them. You find that as you fix your eyes on Jesus, so those resources he's put within you begin to flow through your life and then out of your life. And the Spirit flows out like rivers of living water. You see, you look at yourself and you can see sin and failure. You look at Jesus and all you see is mercy. Every day, mercy. Every morning, new, more mercy. He knows we need it every day. Because he knows every day there will be sin, every day there will be failure. But he knows if we focus on the sin and failure, we'll get depressed. We'll want to give up. We'll think this Christian life is too hard. And he says, of course it is. Because you're trying to live the Christian life like the Jews tried to live in the wilderness. In your own effort and your own strength. Whereas I have put my Spirit within you, I've put my glory within you, I've got my life and all my resources within you. So as you fix your eyes on me, so all that I put within you will begin to flow through your life. Jesus came as the light, came into the darkness of the world. Before you were born again, you were living in darkness, spiritual darkness. When you were born again, light came into your life. But light and darkness can't coexist. If you look at yourself, you can see darkness. Sin is darkness. But as you look at Jesus, you see the light. And as you see the light, you realize where the light penetrates every dark area of my life and sets me free. That I'm a child of light, walking in the light, because I have the light, just as Jesus said. Amen. While you have the light, walk in the light, as a child of the light. Hallelujah. I can do that because he lives in me and he is the light of the world. If he's the light of the whole world, he surely can give me light. Praise God, that light overcomes the darkness. The joy of the Lord. What does the scripture say? Rejoice always. How can you rejoice in the Lord? Because it says rejoice in the Lord always, doesn't it? How can you rejoice in the Lord always when you look at yourself? I guarantee as soon as you start looking at yourself, the joy goes. But you fix your eyes on Jesus and the joy of the Lord rises up within you. How can you be in despair, despondency, and depression when you're full of the joy of the Lord? I know there are various forms of depression, but one form of depression is to keep looking at yourself. But if we keep rejoicing in the Lord, that means we keep our focus on him. And joy is the barometer of your faith. Amen. While you're walking by faith, you're rejoicing. If you stop rejoicing, you stop walking by faith. You see, you can only walk by faith with your focus on Jesus. If your focus on Jesus, the joy of the Lord will be your strength. You know this stuff. I'm not telling you anything new. I'm just reminding you of a whole lot of truths you already know, but I'm putting them together for you. So you understand, you are an overcomer. Amen. So long as your eyes are on Jesus. But every time you fix your eyes on yourself, you stop overcoming. And you feel that you are overcome by your circumstances. Are you there? So, friend of mine had this saying, I know no defeat, I know no defeat, for Jesus is my captain and I know no defeat. Why? Because you look at yourself and you can see defeat. You can feel defeated. But Jesus is our victory.
Amen.
So, if our eyes are on Him, He can never be defeated. He has already overcome all sin. He's already overcome the devil. He's already overcome death. He's overcome everything already. So let's fix our eyes on the one who has overcome.
Yes.
Praise God. And then lastly, you ever get sick? Have some infirmity of some kind? Isn't it easy to focus on that? How do you know you focus on it? You keep praying about it. I mean, many people talk about their problems and say amen at the end and think they've prayed. I don't think that's prayer, do you? You see, while we're focusing on the sickness, our focus isn't on the healer. But if we put our focus on the healer, what will happen to the sickness? It will be overcome. It might be overcome suddenly, miraculously, it might be overcome over a period of time, but it will be overcome. So I just sort of put all these things together for you. His purity will overcome all your impurity. His righteousness will overcome all your unrighteousness. His peace will overcome all your anxiety. His provision will overcome your need. His love will overcome your selfishness. His faith will overcome your doubt and unbelief. His glory will overcome every opposition to His will. His mercy will overcome your sin and failure. Your light will overcome all the darkness in your life. His joy will overcome your despair and despondency. His victory will overcome defeat. His healing will overcome your infirmity. So who is the more interesting subject, Jesus or you? Now, the only thing that's left to be said is that this is something we have to do. It's a command. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Tongues is a great gift. We all need to use that gift, probably more than we do now. And if you don't have that gift, God wants you to have that gift. Talk to Pastor Jonathan and he'll clobber you so you get it. Why? Because you see, he who speaks in a tongue speaks to God, Scripture said. So when we're praying in the Spirit, that gets our focus off of ourselves and onto Him. And praise begins to rise up in your heart. You know, you can see the truth of what I'm saying this morning, because there's probably been times, and you've been going through a tough time, and you come here and you praise God for a few minutes, and while you're praising Him, you forget about your problems. And then when it's all over, you go back to the problems. But you see, for a short while you were praising Him, everything seemed different. Or you just forgot about what you were struggling with. So why not keep praising Him? Why confine it to a few minutes in the service? Why not rejoice in Him always? Why not give thanks in all circumstances? Because this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. And you see, what the Holy Spirit does all the time. Listen to what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit when He's talking to the disciples at the Last Supper. He said, the Holy Spirit will remind you of everything I've said and done. See? The Holy Spirit who lives in you, right? The Holy Spirit who lives in you, He's got one task in your life: to keep your focus on Jesus. If you listen to the Holy Spirit, He will all the time keep your focus on Jesus. He'll get you looking at Jesus. He'll remind you of what Jesus has said. He'll remind you of what Jesus has done. He'll always give you the right word of Jesus in the situation in which you're placed. All the time, He'll focus on Jesus. Jesus says of the Holy Spirit, He never speaks anything from Himself. Jesus said that at the Last Supper. He speaks only what He hears. Where does He hear it from? The Father and the Son. So everything the Holy Spirit is urging you to do comes from the Father and the Son. So the Holy Spirit will always put the focus where He knows the Father and Son are going to answer. Amen. This is why the Scripture says, pray at all times in the Spirit. Which means the Holy Spirit is going to lead us. The Holy Spirit is going to fill our prayer with His presence, with His power, with His wisdom. Are we getting it? So, my friends, the good news is this. I'm a complete and utter failure in myself, and it doesn't matter because I've got the One who is a glorious success living in me. And while my focus is on Him, I will be transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory. When I focus on myself, I'll just get depressed. That's it. So what a wonderful Lord. What a wonderful God. Jesus has done it all. There's nothing left for Him to do. You know, when you have a need, well, no matter what it is, Jesus isn't sitting on the throne in heaven deciding whether He will meet your need or not. You know, the Father and the Son are not having a conversation. You hear that prayer about healing, what do you think? Well, I don't know. A bit dodgy, really. Let's wait for a little bit, shall we? No, it's not like that. He's already done it. He's just waiting for us to believe it. You see? And to appropriate, by faith, all that He's done. Praise God. So this is why this morning I came here just overawed by the mercy of God, the grace of God, the love of God, that He knows all about me, my weakness, my failure, all that stuff. All the ways in which, if you do think about yourself, you just get fed up with yourself. And He knows that all I have to do is keep my eyes on Him.
Amen.
And it doesn't matter where I am or what's happening or what challenges there are, or what opposition I have to face, He will always see me through.
Amen.
Always, always, always. He will never leave me nor forsake me. As you heard earlier. Praise God. Now, this is a good message. Because it is good news. Amen. And the great thing is that the good news has overcome the bad news. So we're living in the victory. Let's all stand, shall we? Shall we have some victory this morning?
Come on, man.
I mean, let's apply this word, shall we? Just fix your eyes on Jesus now, not yourself. Don't fix your eyes on your failure. You know, if you feel, oh, so many things he's said this morning, Lord. Oh, that's true about me. Well, get your eyes off yourself and onto him. Hallelujah. He's the God of mercy. He's the God of grace. He makes his grace abound to us. So that in all things, at all times, having all that we need, we will abound in every good work. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord, that your love knows no bounds. It knows no limits. It's impossible for us even to understand the greatness of your love for us. We praise you. We bless you. We just magnify your wonderful and your holy name. What a great and mighty God you are. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Lord, we know it takes no longer to be forgiven than it takes us to ask. So very simply, we ask you now, forgive each one of us, Lord. Forgive me, forgive each of my brothers and sisters here, I pray, for every way in which instead of denying ourselves, we've focused on self. Lord, I don't have to go through all the things that have already been said this morning. I just ask now that your blood cleanses us from every sin, every impurity, every unrighteousness, every defilement, everything that is not like you, everything that really has been in opposition to what it means to trust you and to have faith in you. Thank you, Lord, that you forgive all the doubt, all the unbelief, all the fears and anxieties, all those negative things that afflict us. And I thank you, this is a very special morning in our lives. Amen. Because you're refocusing us. And thank you that from this morning onwards, we can keep our focus on Jesus. We can fix our eyes on him. And Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit will be so at work in each one of our hearts and lives that whenever our concentration strays onto ourselves, he will very quickly remind us to fix our eyes on Jesus. Now thank you, Lord, that you have made each one of us here an overcomer, or at least a potential overcomer. And thank you that as we put your word into operation, we will see that overcoming power at work in our lives. Amen. And we bless you. We are just so thankful, Lord. We are so thankful to you. Bless your holy name. Now, just before we finish, just be still for a moment. There may be a situation, could be a healing, could be something altogether different from that, a situation that you've been praying about, perhaps with which you feel you've been struggling recently. Now, I want you to know, Jesus is not struggling about that situation at all. He's not worried about it. He's not worried about you, actually. He knows that he has the resolution to that situation. And what he's saying to you now is focus on the answer, not the situation. Begin to praise me for the answer. In everything, give thanks. Jesus says, whatever you ask in prayer, believe it, you have received it and it will be yours. So instead of, you know, every time you put a need before the Lord as if you don't have the answer, the answer is always in the future. And when the answer is in the future, it's never in the present. So you keep praying about it again and again and again. It's always in the future. But when you believe what the Word of God says, you believe you have it.
Amen.
You believe you have received it. So why don't you just thank God now? You don't have to pray it about it again. Just thank Him. Thank you, Lord. I have the answer. Or you have the answer. And I thank you for the answer to this need. I thank you to the answer in this situation. Even though, Lord, I might have been perplexed and haven't understood why it's happened or what's happening or how it's going to resolve itself, I thank you that you are the answer, and I praise you that you have heard my prayer.
Amen.
And Lord, your word says that if I know that you have heard me, I know that I have received from you whatever I ask. So I thank you, Lord. I thank you that I'm going to see your overcoming power in that situation. And thank you, Lord, that this week is going to be a week of overcoming, which will then lead to the following week of greater overcoming, which will then lead to the following week of even greater overcoming, so that I get into this flow, this frame of mind, that I am not some poor, impoverished Christian who finds life such a struggle and difficult, but I am an overcomer. Because you chose me before the creation of the world to be an overcomer. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's give him the glory. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Yes! Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Please be seated. What a wonderful message. Absolutely great. Praise God. God's so good. Okay, let's just make sure this week, the next time the enemy whispers in your ear or speaks into your heart, this kind of cold breath on your heart, you know what I'm talking about. You have a need. Next time he does that, let's just agree together. We are going to lift our face to God and say, I have a provider. You are my provider, Lord. Yeah? Oh, man, God's so good.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.